curious followers, just Chris here again with more twisted and creepy content for your consumption pleasure. I got an email from someone who felt I'd done a disservice to the natural world by only focusing on felonious flora and fauna, also pointing out that flora and fauna can't actually be felonious, but, well, alliteration drove me to creative license. But she, thank you Jane, also mentioned that I should probably do a Fury Within with an eye towards our little friends, creepy crawlers, deadly insects, and arachnids. Honestly, this one might keep me up for a few nights. Entomologists unite, this one will be rocky for the rest of us. I was going to do like a countdown style episode, but there isn't a lot of agreement about which species gets like the silver or bronze medals, or which ones get honorable mention or a participation award. So I decided I'd start with the insect that most agree is the deadliest, albeit most boring in the world, the mosquito. I'm not sure this little pest needs much of an introduction or explanation, but in all fairness to the process, let's get into it. The mosquito is a prolific breeder and found in every part of the world. It could be an annoying guest at a picnic or camp outing, but it can also be deadly. The mosquito can carry any number of devastating diseases, including dengue, Zika, chikungunya, West Nile virus, yellow fever, and lest we forget, malaria. This dastardly bug will pick up a virus from another infected host, like livestock or an infected human. The virus multiplies in the bug, and when the bug bites an uninfected host, the mosquito transmits the virus through its saliva to the uninfected host, causing infection. It makes the mosquito a vector. Ever played one of those pandemic games? Here's one of your biggest culprits. And it's not just one type of mosquito. There are around 460 different species of mosquitoes, but each has the ability to carry and transmit some or all of these potentially deadly diseases. It is estimated, and if this doesn't make your jaw drop, not much will, that the mosquito's disease transmission abilities kill more than 700,000 people each year. The CDC refers to this bloodsucker as the most deadliest animal in the world. That's right, not the deadliest bug, the deadliest animal. At this point, there isn't much agreement about which creeper occupies spots 2 through whatever number you're counting to. So I'm just going to go through the ones that tend to appear most frequently in all the sources I could find. And I would also guess that since some of these little dandies don't live all over the world like the mosquito does, that's going to impact its ability to devastate humans. All that in mind, let's get into it. Let's talk about our friends, the ants. There are lots of types of ants. Sugar ants, those destructive carpenter ants. In fact, there are over 12,000 species of ants. That's too many for me to name. Ants are found all over the world, but not every ant is in every part of the world. Some like specific places. If I asked you to name a dangerous ant, you'd very likely say the fire ant, and you'd be right. I think the three that top the list of nasty ant, and no, I don't mean your Aunt Doris with the prickly chin and the wet kiss, I mean the bugs, are the driver ant, the bullet ant, and yes, the fire ant. These bugs have some of the most accurate and descriptive names. For example, being bitten by a fire ant is often described as a fire-like feeling or burning. The ant actually only bites on to get a grip and then injects venom that contains oil alkaloids and small amounts of toxic proteins. That is what could be a bit problematic. Some people have or can become allergic to the venom, which may cause anaphylactic shock, which, if left untreated, can cause death, usually due to asphyxiation. Driver ants, or Sifu, do just that. They drive themselves to find food. They can live in colonies of 20 million strong. They can form large columns of ants driving to find food at all costs. And if you are immobile and in their way, they don't care. They'll mow you right over. The large soldiers have strong jaws that cause immense pain when they bite into your skin. And if you try to pull them off of you, their head just becomes detached with the jaws still in your flesh and the head just like dangling there. These ants made a cameo in the movie Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, where they ate a grown man alive like super fast. This may be an exaggeration of their capabilities, but it has been anecdotally said that driving columns of driver ants have severely injured or may have even killed the elderly or very young as they could not move out of the ant's path. Bullet ants are so named because their bite is said to feel like a bullet piercing your skin. They live in the rainforests of Nicaragua to Paraguay, and the bullet bite is said to be like walking over flaming charcoal with a 3-inch rusty nail embedded in your heel. Pleasant. In Brazil, the Setirma people use the bullet ant in a coming-of-age ritual for young warriors. 80 of the biting pests are woven into leaf gloves, and then a boy who wishes to become a warrior puts the gloves on. He's supposed to leave the biting creature gloves on for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, the gloves are removed, and the boy's hands are temporarily paralyzed and can even shake uncontrollably for days due to the venom. The boy must repeat this ritual a total of 20 times to become a full-fledged warrior. So do the math. That's 100 minutes of being bitten and gross all over your hands by these ants. And I want to know, how are the gloves made without the glove makers getting bitten as well? Whatever. Either way, maybe I could just be the kid who sells flowers or makes blankets or something else instead. It makes me shudder just thinking about it. Unlike ants and mosquitoes, whose bites leave very painful, itchy, raised marks on the host, ticks sink their jaws into the host without the host knowing it. This allows the tick to suck your blood for as long as they want. The problem? Ticks can carry any number of pathogens. Ticks can carry bacteria, viruses, and protozoa. Lyme disease is probably the most well-known of the tick-borne diseases, but Rocky Mountain spotted fever is likely the deadliest, with a fatality rate of about 30% in those left untreated. But even treated Lyme disease can leave you with painful side effects for the rest of your life. So enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you do that tick check your mom taught you about. You can't really name ants, mosquitoes, and ticks on a most deadly list without also mentioning the flea. I'm sure you've heard of those little or seen those little weird flea circuses. And I mean, whose idea was that anyway? I want to take one of the most prolific disease spreaders and make them look like cute little trained miniature circus performers. Brilliant! It's actually a type of rodent flea that carries the bacteria that causes the plague. There are about 2,000 types of flea, and they cover the globe. The plague is the fault of the flea, not actually the rat, although it is the rat who transported these small wingless bloodsuckers all over and thus brought the fleas to their hapless victims, humans. There are suspected to be 1,000 to 2,000 cases of the plague per year, several being in the U.S., but it is treatable with antibiotics and thus not quite as scary as it used to be. But I think I'm going to pass on that flea circus ticket just in case. Fleas have their predators too, including spiders. But these spiders are ones that fleas don't necessarily need to worry about. Humans do. The first one we'll talk about is one that gets a needlessly severe rap, the brown recluse spider. It's a relatively shy spider, but unfortunately likes to hang out in places that humans do too. The brown recluse spider has a necrotic venom that causes tissue death when left untreated, and that'll probably ruin your day. But 90% of recluse bites are medically insignificant because they generally are only going to bite you when they feel threatened, but they mainly just want to get away from the danger and not actually face it. The best way to identify a brown recluse is by the violin shape on the middle part of its body where the legs attach to the body. The neck of the violin shape points towards the abdomen. You can also tell it's a brown recluse by the fact that it has a total of 6 eyes in 3 sets rather than 8 eyes in 4 sets that other spiders have. But I would argue if you're close enough to see the eyes, you're probably too close. Next up is the Brazilian wandering spider, which can be found in South and parts of Central America. These arachnids belong to the Phoenutria genus, which in Greek translates to murderous. Rather than building webs, these spiders like to hide during the day in places like shoes, boxes, cars, anywhere they can find safe refuge to get them through to the night when they like to hunt. While the results from a bite of the Brazilian wandering spider may not kill you, it's going to put a serious dent in your plans. They have a very toxic and venomous bite that will cause sweating, severe goosebumps, burning, followed by high or low blood pressure, hypothermia, blurred vision, vertigo, convulsions. Should I go on? I don't like it. No, thank you. I'd like to hide now. The final spider in today's insects and arachnids is, of course, the black widow. There are actually 32 types of widow, and they exist on every continent except Antarctica. Although they are highly venomous with latrotoxin, a neurotoxin, no one has died from a widow bite since 1983. Latrotoxin can cause muscle rigidity, vomiting, pain, and sweating, and can last 3 to 7 days, but is very unlikely to kill you. Widows come in a variety of colors, and yes, some are black, with the classic bright red hourglass shape on their abdomen. I wouldn't say they're cute exactly, but they do have a bit of elegant charm to them, And I'm not sure they deserve the wicked connotation that follows them, but you just can't help the macabre nature of the human mind. But we need to move along to another type of arachnid, the scorpion. No deadly list like this one would be complete without them. First is the very scarily named Deathstalker scorpion. This little gem likes the scrubland in North Africa, Middle East, and Central Asia. Although not typically deadly to a healthy adult, the Deathstalker can absolutely be deadly for a child because the venom to body weight ratio is so much higher. That means that children require a lot more antivenom than an adult. The venom of a Deathstalker is a mix of four neurotoxins that can cause heart failure. But this venom, more specifically the chlorotoxin in the venom, has its own value. There have been studies linking chlorotoxin to potential treatments for cancer, arthritis, and bone disease, which might explain the price tag of $39 million per gallon of the stuff. It takes 2.64 million milkings to make a gallon of venom, not to mention that it's hard to milk a scorpion. Unfortunately, after some very promising results with an aggressive type of brain tumor called a glioma, after the 2008 stock market crash, further studies linking chlorotoxin to slowing or stopping the brain tumor were not continued. And that part makes me mad. It's 2023, folks. Go save someone. The Indian red scorpion will round out our arachnid bruisers today. This scorpion is not a big one. It's relatively small, but it packs a whopper of a punch. In some areas where this little glow under the black light beauty lives, the lethality rate can be up to 40%. Antivenom has been shown to not be very effective in treatment. The bite will cause pain, breathlessness, and vomiting. The toxin mostly works on the lungs and circulatory system, and death can occur from pulmonary edema. The Indian red is found, well, in India. They are shy, nocturnal creatures who generally only sting humans when feeling threatened, but they like to hide in small places, around where children play, and if children are running around playing barefoot, they don't usually watch where they step, and zap, they get stung. Interestingly, these animals are often kept as pets in India. Their exoskeletons have chemicals that make them glow under black light. I don't know if that's why they're kept as pets. Whatever the reason, these animals, though feared, also have the potential for their venom to take its place in the medical world as a possible treatment for autoimmune diseases. And that's freaking cool. If scorpions don't scare you, maybe bees and wasps will. So I have to tell you that this episode came at a very weird time when I was writing it. My son was actually fishing and accidentally disturbed a yellow jacket nest. He ended up getting stung more than 8 times. Witnessing that makes what I'm about to tell you really scary. So we're all probably familiar with killer bees, right? Or the Africanized honeybee. Although the deadliness of these bees has been greatly exaggerated over time, they are not to be trifled with. They are a hybrid of the more docile European honeybee and the more aggressive African variety. This was done to try to boost honey production that has slowed due to habitat loss, use of insecticides, and other threats that the European honeybee was more susceptible to. The result, however, was a much more aggressive bee that is very defensive of its hive and will chase a potential threat much further than its European counterpart. There have been over 1,000 deaths due to killer bees, mostly because of the sheer number of stings a person receives if they're not able to get them more than a quarter mile away from the swarm before the swarm stops following you. Plus, if you're allergic to bee stings, it's likely going to be the anaphylactic shock that kills you rather than the bee itself. Another stinger of a bug is the Asian giant hornet. Terrifying. They are 2 inches or more in length, the largest hornet in the world. Sometimes this bug is referred to as the murder hornet. Not only are they large, they are very aggressive and don't like to be disturbed. They also tend to be together in fairly large numbers, so if you see one, there are likely more nearby, and it's best to leave the area. They like to burrow underground, like a lot of wasps do, so if you happen to be climbing Mount Fuji, you might not even know you've come upon a nest until you're already in some trouble. Most people who perish from a sting do so due to anaphylactic shock, but the venom of these creatures is no joke. The venom contains mandarotoxin, which is a necrotic toxin that causes tissue death or red blood cells to explode, which isn't good. Even those who survive the murder hornet sting may suffer from kidney problems and need dialysis to get rid of all the toxin. These hornets feed on other wasps and bees, including honeybees. They can completely destroy a honeybee colony, like the whole colony, in less than an hour. But humans don't shy away from retaliating by eating this hornet. Yeah, you heard me. In some areas of Japan, the larvae are fried with rice, and even the adult hornets are fried on a stick, stinger and all, until nice and crunchy, and then eaten. I think I'll stick with fried Oreos. We're almost through this horror, I promise. Let's talk about flies next. First, the fly I hate to pronounce, the tsetse fly. This fly is native to tropical Africa. Essentially, this is similar to the mosquito in that the fly feeds on the blood of an infected host, then passes a protozoa on to the uninfected host, causing a disease called sleeping sickness. Sleeping sickness causes extreme fatigue, irritability, and then as it progresses, you get more and more progressive confusion and then other neurologic issues. Fevers can be intermittent and lymph nodes will swell to very large sizes, which hurts. There are also ulcers and rashes involved. Lovely. If left untreated, the disease leads to progressive neurological deterioration, ending up in multiple organ failure and death, and is nearly 100% fatal. The treatment is very tricky and requires a lot of observation and some tweaking depending on how things look. One of the other tricky things about this disease is that symptoms can take months or years to appear, and often by the time they do, the disease has progressed far enough that the treatment is unusable. The disease and the vector, the tsetse fly, are so feared that there are parts of tropical Africa that are completely uninhabitable due to the number of these flies. The next fly is, you may have guessed it, the bot fly. They live in Central and South America. This is like something out of a freaking horror story. The human bot fly burrows into your skin and feeds off of your tissue. It goes through three phases where it gets progressively larger before it then detaches and falls to the ground where it will turn into an adult bot fly. The fly burrows in head down, leaving its posterior protruding, but it's also sort of even with the surface of your skin. That's because there are two little breathing apparatuses sticking out so that it can breathe. People have said that their first clue that it's a bot fly infection was that they could feel something moving in their skin either when they showered or covered the pussy wound because they were covering the breathing apparatus. The larva can be removed surgically or by covering the wound with something like petroleum jelly or beeswax because then the larva is coaxed out of its feeding position because it can't breathe. As it emerges, you can grab it and pull it the rest of the way out. Ooh. It's not as easy as it sounds due to the little hooks it has on its body holding it in place. But that's it. That's how it's done. Like, the thought of this makes my skin crawl, and I swear I can feel creepy little things all over. Not to mention how these little fellers look. So while not deadly, it hits the gross meter at the highest level. Finally, and I saved this one for last because I think it creeps me out the most, it's called the kissing bug or vampire bug. It is so called because of its love of biting humans on the soft tissue around your mouth. Ew. But they actually will bite you anywhere. They are another bloodsucker, go figure, and they can carry a parasite that causes Chagas disease. But biting you is not how the bug actually spreads the parasite. The parasite is spread when the bug poops on you, and the poop gets into the fresh wound that the bug just made on you. I am so grossed out right now, I may not eat for the rest of the day. Once the parasite enters the body, it goes through two stages. The acute stage can show no symptoms, or symptoms that mimic other illnesses. That's part of why this disease is so tricky. The chronic phase can cause cardiac and gastrointestinal issues, but the person may also be asymptomatic. Treatment includes an antiparasitic to rid you of the parasite in conjunction with systematic treatments to help with the symptoms. The parasite is not often fatal, but can be to the young or immunocompromised. The thought of a bug biting me on my mouth and then pooping in the wound and inserting a parasite that swims around in me is enough to make me feel a bit woozy. And I'd rather be woozy from a glass or three of wine. Thank you very much. Okay, whew, that was really stressful. That'll do it for this disgusting episode. I hope you'll join me in the insomnia that I've just caused. I hated all of it today. Sorry, bug lovers. I understand their importance in the ecological chain. I really do. But it doesn't mean I like them any better. So thanks for hanging with me. Shoot me an email if there's a gross, deadly, or dastardly topic you want me to cover, either for a short episode or a full one. Make sure you share us with your swarm. We love having more friends. Otherwise, spread the buzz, sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite. I'm not covering bed bugs. It's too traumatic. See ya.